From the Mighty 990 Broadcast Center, you're waking up in Starnes Country with Todd Starnes.
Well, yes, you are. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to Starnes Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. Merry Christmas to you wherever you are across the Mid-South. Also, Happy Hanukkah as well. Hanukkah kicking off tomorrow. I know a lot of folks here in the Mid-South will be participating, and we wish you nothing but blessings this holiday season. Well, we have a lot going on today, everybody. Congressman David Kustoff drops by in just a little while. Also, Pamela Furr will join us from Nashville. Pamela, a longtime journalist and talk radio host there in Nashville, going to weigh in on Jelly Roll, getting the big Grand Ole Opry induction announcement. Also, a major story brewing in the Nashville area where a Somali migrant by the name of Muhammad A. Muhammad was arrested for raping a woman on the steps of a church in Nashville. This guy had been arrested dozens of times before. Every single time he was released, the charges dismissed by radical leftist judges in Nashville. Congressman Andy Ogles leading the charge there. We're going to be checking with Pamela to get the very latest. A lot of folks around the nation very, very upset over that, as well they should be. Here in our neck of the woods, Tammy Sawyer is back at it. Now she's taken to TikTok and social media to gloat over the fact that her BFF, her bae, Steve Mulroy, live long and prosper. Steve Mulroy decided not to prosecute her for going bat crap crazy at the Shelby County Courthouse. Take a listen, please.
And now a word from Tyrae Tim.
God will always prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you, D.A. Mulroy and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, for clearing my name and that of the people who gave their time to keep me safe. I will continue to serve this county as I had to the utmost of my ability. And as Snoop Dogg once said, I'm innocent.
Is that Snoop Dogg? Snoop Dogg, I'm innocent. No, you're not, woman. You know, it's interesting about Tammy Sawyer. I think Mulroy here has really opened the door, and there's a great opportunity for all of us here in the Mid-South to give Tyrae Tammy a taste of her own medicine, if you will. I'm not sure what happens, and let me just stop for just a moment. I don't know if this is a medical issue or what, but every time I say her, something happens every time I say her name. And it's almost like a cough or a sneeze every time I say Tammy Sawyer. See what I mean? I can't control it. My apologies. I got a doctor's appointment. I'm going to ask the doc about that. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, basically, this D.A. Mulroy has now given all of us permission to treat Tammy Sawyer the way she treated that deputy sheriff. And if I was, by the way, I've been getting a lot of notes and messages about the deputy who was the victim of this tirade, who happens to be a white guy. And, you know, Tammy doesn't like white people, and especially white babies and white law enforcement officers. And a lot of folks are wondering if this deputy has any sort of legal recourse against her, perhaps civilly, because, I mean, she accused the guy of being a racist. And I don't know about you, but I think it's beyond time for all of us to stand up and push back when these degenerates like, you know, Tyrae Tammy go out there and accuse people of wrongfully accuse people of being racist. I'm done with it. I don't know about you. It may be just me, but I am done with people like Tyrae Tammy. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And we have I've almost forgot, we've got Pastor Mark Blair, the minister of music from Bellevue Baptist Church, several cast members from the Singing Christmas Tree. They're going to be here today talking about the largest Christmas celebration in the Mid-South. One of the largest in the country. Thousands and thousands of people are going to be attending this weekend's Singing Christmas Tree at Bellevue Baptist Church. May I just tell you, from a family perspective, you're going to love it. It's one of the most amazing performances. It is a Broadway quality show, and it is also life changing. And we'll tell you more about that coming up a little bit later on. However, many of you may have very special Christmas celebrations, Christmas events and services at your local church. And we want to be able to help you promote that. And all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. And we're happy to pass along that information to our great listening audience across the Mid-South, broadcasting in three states. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Have you heard this story out of DeSoto County? This is crazy. Apparently, they've indicted four people on welfare fraud charges in DeSoto County. Two of the defendants, Kayla Smith and Sharina Jones, arrested by the Sheriff's Department. You know, Sheriff Tuckle, he doesn't mess around with that kind of stuff. Kayla Smith facing charges, ready for this, three counts totaling $37,800 in welfare fraud. That's just incredible. Sharita Jones facing one count totaling $20,000. Jones, a former employee at the Mississippi Department of Human Services, accused of defrauding the SNAP program by misrepresenting her income. Two other residents also indicted. Their names have not been released. This information coming from Channel 5. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty despicable what's going on here in the Mid-South when it comes to all of this welfare fraud. But we're going to call them out. Shame on these people. Oh, did you hear the story about the West Memphis priest? This is bizarre. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of cats. I want to get real here. But there's a West Memphis priest, and I just think this is a terrible story. A West Memphis priest pled guilty to animal cruelty charges. He was caught trapping and drowning cats. This was Father Charles Thessing, a 64-year-old priest in West Memphis. He's been ordered to pay $2,200 in restitution to the animal shelter, along with court fees, and those court fees over $3,000, but they're not sending him to jail. Anyway, somebody got video of the priest over in West Memphis, and they found animal traps, two dead cats that appeared to have been drowned in a tank of water on the property. Is the priest at St. Michael Church in West Memphis. He's been suspended indefinitely by the diocese. No, he was not baptizing. No, that's not what he was doing with the cats. I mean, he was drowning the cats. There's no doubt about that. You know, all I can think of, I mean, people are rightfully outraged here. I wish they would be rightfully outraged when Planned Parenthood kills unborn babies. But maybe that's asking too much. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Again, a lot happening on the show today, a lot happening on KWM. Later on the national show, Senator Marsha Blackburn will be here in studio on my national show. That's coming up a little bit later, 11 o'clock to be exact, right here on the Mighty 990. Also, Congressman Tim Burchett joins us today talking about his 15-minute Christmas party last night, which was all the rage. Apparently, George Santos, remember that guy, Congressman George Santos, the ex-congressman? He served caviar at his Christmas party. Our guy, Tim Burchett, the pride of Tennessee, he served Cheese Whiz on Ritz crackers, and people loved it. Had a great time. All right, 901-260-5926. This is Starnes Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. And welcome back to Starnes Country, everybody. Great to have you with us. It's going to be a fun weekend here in the Mid-South. You've got Starry Nights over at Shelby Farms, the Bellevue Baptist Church singing Christmas Tree. They opened their performances last night. I mean, thousands of people turned out, and just a lot more going on. We'll be sharing some other activities coming up a little bit later in the program. Right now, though, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our Congressman, David Kostoff. Congressman, I hope you're doing well, and I want to give you an early happy Hanukkah greeting. Hope you're doing good today.
Todd, good morning. Thank you very much from our nation's capital, where things are never dull and the fight is always going on. You know, yesterday, I don't think this got very much media attention, and you may have talked about it. You know that there was another motion to try to impeach Donald Trump yesterday on the House floor that was filed by Texas Congressman Al Green.
Al Green, yeah.
Who you may remember, and many of the listeners may remember from the State of the Union when he caused that outburst when President Trump was addressing the nation at the State of the Union. That was defeated. Okay, that motion to try to impeach President Trump, actually without any hearings, was defeated. But I bring it up because this is something I think about a lot, in that with the upcoming elections next year in 2026, we all know elections are important each and every time and each and every time they come up. But we've got the majority here in Washington with President Trump in the White House, with majority in the House of Representatives, majority in the Senate. I think we've done some really good things in these first 11 months, and we appreciate President Trump's leadership, not only what he's done with the Memphis State Task Force, but all the initiatives that he's implemented. If we lose the majority in the House or the Senate, you're going to see so much more of these antics like Al Green tried to do yesterday in the House of Representatives. And so it's really important that we focus on making sure that we have good candidates and we're talking about the issues that that are important to people, and that we offer those solutions.
Yeah, I'm with you, Congressman, and I am very concerned, and I've been writing about this on our social media feed for the past several days. You know, my analysis of what happened in Tennessee's 7th Congressional District is a lot different than I think the spin, and everybody has their own spin on things. But I think we have – there are a couple of big issues. Number one, we've got to make sure we have great, solid candidates. We also have to make sure that people are getting out and voting. And that is not happening. And, you know, we had issues. And I mean, there was a mad dash to get people out to vote in Tennessee. And it worked, thank goodness. But that has not been the case in other states. And I know people are hesitant to call any election a bellwether, but I think we're getting some warning signs. When you look at the polling data, there's just a lot of concern right now in the country.
There is. And, you know, everything's a snapshot in time, and things are going to look differently politically, and the issues are going to be different in the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months than they are today. Things change. I think that the one big beautiful bill that we worked so hard on to pass by July the 3rd, that we did pass on July the 3rd, that President Trump signed into law on July the 4th, for example, it would, starting next year, when that really kicks in and people start seeing the benefits of that, lower taxes permanently at all income levels, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, the benefit for seniors receiving Social Security, where they keep, everybody keeps more of their hard-earned money in their pocket. Economically, people are going to start seeing the benefit of that next year, and it's our job to remind them that President Trump led us on the One Big Beautiful Bill. I worked hard on the Ways and Means Committee to draft the legislation, but he's the quarterback, he's the leader, and he helped us get that over the finish line. It's those types of issues that we've got to remind people about next year before the election, and to your point, that we've got to make sure that we have good, solid conservative candidates across the nation in all 435 districts.
Hey, Congressman, I know Pansy Woodward writing in on our Facebook live stream, and she says Congress needs to focus on codifying President Trump's executive orders ASAP, real time, not Congress time. Does Pansy have a point here?
She does, and we have been doing that. I will point out, though, and I think people understand this with executive orders, it's a lot easier for the president to sign something with his pen than it is to get it through the wheels of the House of Representatives.
And can I just stop you right there, though, Congressman? I understand exactly what you're saying. But we have a Republican majority, and it just seems to me, as a card-carrying, you know, Republican, that our party, I don't care if you're liberal or conservative, you have a responsibility to back your commander-in-chief.
We do. We do. And we have implemented, through legislation, a number of the executive orders that President Trump has signed. You know, but you look back, though, Todd, and look at the government shutdown that lasted for 43 days. One reason it took so long, we did our job in the House on September the 19th before the government shut down, but the United States Senate has that 60-vote filibuster rule, which is
of course
their rule. That's up to the United States Senate and not the House. Now, I will point out that one thing that we were able to do with the One Big Beautiful Bill to get past the 60 votes was to pass it through reconciliation. And so that's a unique procedure that we can use when we have the majority both in the House and the Senate, but it's awfully hard to do that. And I will note in the National Defense Authorization Act that we passed in the House just a couple of days ago, we did codify 15 executive orders that President Trump has signed. So the Senate obviously needs to do its part,
right?
But in the House, we did in the National Defense Authorization Act that was passed just a couple of days ago, there were 15 executive orders that were codified.
I want to play some audio real quick and get your reaction. This is Congressman Benny Thompson from over down in Mississippi, the 2nd Congressional District, talking about, and he was grilling Secretary Noem yesterday. Let's take a listen to that.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC reference the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist attack.
Wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can
respond. Shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look,
Congressman, how do you respond to that?
Well, it's a totally different mentality. When, frankly, it sounded like that Benny Thompson was almost defending the guy, the shooter who shot the National Guardsman in cold blood. I mean, it was tragic. When we heard that news, I guess, Todd, what, it's been almost 2 weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving, of the shooting of the two National Guards people, in Washington, D.C., just like in Memphis, things have changed. Washington, before the National Guard came to town, was a dangerous city. My constituents talked about, walking through seedy areas coming up to the Capitol, which is pretty well protected. National Guard came, it changed things. And it's done that in Memphis also, where I've had National Guard people tell me that in Memphis that people come up to them, not only to talk to them about how much they appreciate them being in Memphis, but that they'll hug them.
Yeah.
And so, you've seen that in Washington also, even though it's a largely Democrat city. But here you have Benny Thompson, who is a congressional leader on the Democrat side, former chairman of that committee, and he asked the question in the way and in the manner in which he asked it, and I think that tells you something about the mentality and the thought process of the other side.
Sure does. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We're coming up on a hard break, but we always appreciate you coming on KWAM. You're the first of many lawmakers coming on KWAM today. So you got us off to a great start. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Congressman David Kustoff. I forgot to ask him about if he went to Burchett's party, had some cheese whiz. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. This is Starnes Country. So, look, one of the nation's largest and longest running Christmas productions right here in the Mid-South in Memphis, Tennessee, everybody. And we've been telling you about the Bellevue Baptist Church singing Christmas Tree. And it is truly a Broadway experience. And the great news is you don't have to go to Times Square. You don't have to run to the Naked Cowboy. You can just hang out here in Memphis, and you can, we have great hotels. It's a wonderful experience to even travel. A lot of people travel to Memphis just for this incredible event. And we're really excited to have some very special guests with us today. Mark Blair, who is the Minister of Music at Bellevue Baptist Church, and Lisa Parker, who is the drama director and writes the scripts and just an incredibly gifted person. And we also have two wonderful performers from the show today, Caroline Seegers and Hannah Smith. And guys, great to have you with us today.
Todd, it's always fun to be with you. And that likeness on that door, sorry, but it's you, buddy.
I have line of sight right now to that thing, so it's really freaking me out.
Yeah, it's you.
That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Look, wow, this is so you guys had a hiccup because of COVID, right?
Right.
So this is technically the 50th year, but it's really the 49th year.
Right. It's our 49th presentation. We lost that year. We felt like it was best for our community to skip that year.
Yeah, you didn't want people keeling over in the tree. I get that. That's
exactly
that's not
right.
A good look.
I went to the tree and I left with COVID. That was not something we wanted. We didn't think that was good PR or good for the community.
Unless you're passing out, I don't know, ivermectin in the lobby. I don't know. It's you know, this is it, we went back and looked. I mean, gosh, I was in second grade, I think, second or third grade. The Vietnam War was just wrapping up. It was coming to
That's
an
right.
end when this production started.
That's right. It's pretty amazing. It, you know, it started with a dream in the mind of Jim Whitmire, who is still in Memphis and still serving in ministry at another church. And he had the vision for it. And you can imagine the meeting when he goes in and said, I need money. We're going to do a singing Christmas tree. We're going to build a structure, and a bunch of kids are going to sing on it. And they thought he was crazy, but they followed his leadership, and here we are 49 years later.
So help me understand this, because this is a massive tree, and there are actually young people that are in the tree itself performing.
That's true. They're not always up there, but it can hold 150 students. And we still use the original tree that was built and fabricated by a man from Bellevue. And, you know, we inspect it to make sure it stays in good shape. But what's amazing is it is built for students, because for me to get up in that tree, I would probably have to be surgically removed.
So,
it is tight.
So I know something about this, because back during my Fox News days, they sent me down here, and we thought it would be fun to do the stand-up with me in the tree.
That's right.
And I look like a giant wildebeest, you know, in the tree. And I thought I heard it shudder, and I thought, oh, geez, Alou, I don't want to be the guy that brings the tree down. But it was hard to kind of, I was asking for a tub of butter to kind of, you know, get in there.
Yeah, there are 11 rows, and to load the tree, the last group goes in at row 7, and they crawl on their knees, crawl up, go up to row 8, go across, zigzagging all the way to the top.
It's really remarkable. Lisa, I want to talk about the show itself, because this really is a Broadway. It's an original production. All the music, everything is original. How long does that process take for you guys to create this masterpiece?
Well, we start this year. I think we started in like April, talking about ideas. We have a team that meets every week, and we just throw around ideas and brainstorm a little bit, and then I go away and try to weave all of that into a story thread. And then the rough draft comes, and we just progress week by week that way.
And this is a family-friendly production.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes. Children just sit there spellbound, mostly at the lights and music. But we try to create a story that appeals to the greatest number of people, everybody.
You know, one of the things that I really marvel at, and Mark, you might want to weigh in on this. When I was in New York City, went to a lot of Broadway shows when I lived there, and one of the first ones I went to was Spider-Man the Musical. They didn't tell us in the previews that Spider-Man was literally to come dropping down out of the ceiling and plop right down beside you, right? So, but you guys sort of do that, not Spider-Man, but you have angels and other things that are literally, is this true, flying through the air there in the auditorium?
We do. We partner with ZFX, which is one of the nation's premier fly companies, because if you're going to have kids flying over the audience, you want to do it safely. But yeah, we do flying angels, flying Christmas presents, ballet girls that fly on pendulums on stage. It really is an engaging experience. It's not one that you just sit back. I mean, it's happening around you.
And it's so well done, which is one of the, I mean, you guys have thousands and thousands of people that come to these performances. Lisa, I mean, we're not talking about professional actors and actresses. We're talking about volunteers.
Absolutely. They are all volunteers from the church, and they're so incredibly gifted.
All right, I want to bring in Hannah, and that's just a little bit of the conversation we had with our friends at Bellevue Baptist Church. You'll be able to listen to the entire interview at kwamradio.com. All right, it is now 41 minutes past the hour. If you'd like information on Bellevue Baptist Church getting tickets, go to bellevue.org. There are tickets available this weekend. They have multiple performances on Saturday, Sunday. Check it out, bellevue.org. All right, let's check in real quick. Aiden Pettit is standing by with a look at your entertainment news across the Mid-South.
Hello, and welcome to the Memphis Entertainment Map, sponsored by Appliance Liquidators in South Haven. If you need something to do this weekend, then look no further. First, tonight through December 30th, Memphis Botanic Gardens are hosting Holiday Wonders at the Garden. Step into a world of twinkling lights, cozy moments, and holiday magic as you cozy up with glowing fire tables, sip seasonal drinks, and enjoy a rotating mix of food trucks and hot chocolate. Also this weekend, Ballet Memphis presents The Nutcracker at the Orpheum Theater, featuring live music from the Memphis Symphony Orchestra playing the iconic Tchaikovsky score and exquisite sets and costumes. This uplifting classic tale is perfect for the holiday season. Finally, continuing this weekend and running through the 21st, A Tuna Christmas is playing at Circuit Playhouse. Set in the fictional town of Tuna, Texas, this comedic satire features two actors portraying more than 20 characters of different genders and ages, offering a hilarious look at small-town life. Have an entertaining week in Memphis, and we'll see you next week.
All right, we'll be right back. And welcome back to Stearns Country here in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. Let's go to the phone lines real quick here. Lisa in Denver, Colorado. Lisa, I hope you're listening on the app.
I am. Good morning, Todd. How are you doing?
Lisa, I'm doing well. Good to hear from you. What's going on? I understand you have an interesting fun fact about the singing Christmas tree.
I do. I was going to call in and tell you that my cousin Tom, he's one of the main ones that designed and fabricated the singing Christmas tree.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. He sure did. It's been couple of decades ago. It's the same tree that they used when they when Bellevue was over on Mississippi Boulevard.
That's right. It's 50 years, but it's officially 49. They missed 1 year because of COVID. But that tree, it's an engineering phenomenon. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, Tom, he volunteered to do it. He was a fabricating engineer. And he volunteered to do it when they first decided that we're going to have the singing Christmas tree.
Well, my goodness.
In fact, to call in and let you know.
This is Lisa Arnold, everybody. Lisa, we always love hearing from you. What a great fun fact. And it's a pretty awesome tree. And folks, again, I know many of you are talking about getting tickets in our live chat. It is worth doing that. Lisa, thank you for calling in. Have fun in Denver. Real quick, before we head over to Pamela Furr, let's check in with Parker May, standing by with your KWAM Sports Update.
I'm Parker May, and this is your KWAM Sports Update, presented by Ortho One Sports Medicine and Dr. DeLaubach. In the NFL, the Falcons come from behind to beat the Bucs 29-28 on Thursday Night Football. Marquee matchups continue on Sunday as the playoffs are just a month away. Two key divisional battles in the AFC as the Chiefs host the Chargers and the Patriots host the Bills. And in the NFC, the Lions take on the Rams. In college football, the 126th Army-Navy game is tomorrow afternoon in Baltimore. Navy leads the all-time series, but Army has won 6 out of the last 9. In coaching news, Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore has been fired, with Biff Poggi being named the interim for their bowl game. The Memphis Grizzlies have won 7 out of their last 9 games and are currently 11-13 on the year. However, they continue to struggle with injuries. The Grizzlies currently have 7 players out with injuries, including Ja Morant and Zach Edey. The shorthanded Grizz are back in action tonight at home versus the Jazz. I'm Parker May on the Monty 990 KWAM.
All right. Thank you, Parker. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our great friend, the Queen of Nashville, Pamela Furr, hanging out with us today.
Hey, good morning.
Pamela, this is normally Fridays on the Monty 990 are just very leisurely, right? We're just sort of coasting into the weekends. This is insane.
I know. It's because we're bumping up to the Christmas holidays, and so everybody's out of control.
It's true. I want to jump into a story. We've got 3 things I want to talk to you about in Nashville, and one of them is this crazy story. We understand that these judges in Davidson County let this guy out. His name is Muhammad A. Muhammad. He has a very long rap sheet. And yet every time he appeared before the judges, they released this man. And now he's accused of attacking a woman, raping and killing a woman there in Nashville.
Yeah, that is the case. There's 4 charges, rape charges against him right now. And it could end up being also a murder charge. We're just waiting to see on that. But the point is, he has a long, like you said, a long rap sheet. There are members of the media here trying to make you think that these were all just incidental charges, nothing major, but they lead up to what happened to this poor woman back in August. There's indecency charges. There is a sexual battery charge that these judges, quote, retired, which means if he got charged again, then they could bring this charge back. But this was a pattern of behavior with this man, this Somalia man, and this is what it led up to. So people are outraged, and one of them is Congressman Andy Ogles,
yeah,
who actually brought really national attention to this because he said that these judges are the ones that need to be, quote, retired rather than the charge against this man because they dismissed all these charges.
Let me jump in here because I want to read exactly what he said. It's important. I think people need to hear what, because he's being accused of something. And this is what he wrote. Every judge and prosecutor who let him off the hook was a Democrat. As long as local liberals are running things in Middle Tennessee, we are at war. The state should impeach all of the judges, send the guard to Nashville. So that's what he wrote. And what happened?
Yes. And now the judges got together and released a statement and requested heightened security because they believe that Andy Ogles' comments put their lives in danger. And that is just ridiculous. Anyway, and he's not backing down. He's actually doubling down on the comments that he made. If this isn't war, then what is this? And these liberal judges, as you said, not only did this with the Somalia man, but they're doing this day after day in the courtrooms in Middle Tennessee, specifically Nashville. And so you've got criminals walking the streets, and at any time, something like this could happen. This one, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you know the case, but this woman apparently was a homeless woman and had been somehow impaired, whether it was drugs or alcohol, I actually am not sure. But the video cameras show she stumbled upon the steps of a church, sat down on the steps, either inebriated or something. And this Somalia man actually saw her and was raping her when the Nashville Fire Department happened to be driving by the church, saw what was happening, and intervened. And that's how this man was caught. And she was transported to the hospital and then died later. And, I mean, it's a horrific case. And so the fact that these judges in the past have let him walk the streets is just horrific. And these liberal judges, and not just that, we have a liberal DA, just like you guys have there in Memphis, he does not step up and charge some of these people have done some of these things with the right kind of charges. that could keep them behind bars. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'll say this. The comparisons between the judges and the DA in Nashville, and everybody listening here in Memphis, we're thinking the same thing. This is exactly the problem we've been dealing with here in West Tennessee as well, where these Democrats, and they're all Democrats, and they hate it when you point that out. They hate it. But this is the common denominator. This is their ideology. The judges believe they need to be protected, but not the women in Nashville. That is outrageous.
Outrageous. And so if you get an opportunity, whether it's on socials or publicly, praise Congressman Andy Ogles for taking a bold stand by saying what he said. There's nothing wrong with what he said, and it's not the judges who need extra protection. It's we, the people of Nashville, who need extra protection from these people that they've allowed to continue to walk the streets. By the way, even though this case is one that's getting headlines right now, there have been cases after cases after cases where people who have been repeat offenders are still walking the street.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Pamela Furr joining us from Nashville. I want to play some audio. This is Jelly Roll on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day. Let's take a listen.
Give me some volume, Jay.
To say congratulations on all the great things happening in your career, and to thank you for the positive difference you're making in the lives of so many people who need the help. You're doing great work, buddy, and I'll never forget meeting you on the Grand Ole Opry and how much it meant to me to hear you say my music helped you get through some really tough times. That's one thing country music does really well. And who would have ever dreamed back then that I'd be back at the Opry House today to say Jelly Roll? You're officially invited to become a member of the Grand Ole Opry. It's an honor to say welcome to the family, brother.
Wow. How about that, Pamela Furt?
So emotional. And I think Joe Rogan actually got emotional with him. They embraced. I mean, that's a really big deal if you know the history of the Grand Ole Opry, to be invited to become a member. And when you think about the story of Jelly Roll, it's just amazing that he went. I mean, he was a repeat offender, too. Let's just be honest. When he was younger, on drug charges, on robbery charges, on, you know, et cetera. And so for his life to have a complete turnaround to the point that he's been invited to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry. That's an amazing story.
I've got 20 seconds. The other massive story, national story, is the In-N-Out Burgers officially opening in Nashville. Thousands turning out, Pamela Furr. Have you had the double-double yet?
I haven't because it's an eight-hour line. I'm sort of exaggerating, but I think the longest wait time I heard was like 4.5 hours. I'm not waiting that long for a burger, but I will go as soon as I can.
I think it's a good burger, but it's not worth waiting 8 hours in your car.
Right.
I'm just saying. All right. Well, Pamela, great stuff. Appreciate you joining us this morning, and we'll check back in with you next Friday. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Okay, bye.
All right, and that music means we got to scoot out of here as well. Folks, a lot to do. There's a lot of fun this weekend here in the Mid-South. Get out there, enjoy all of it. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.